Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Mike Del Tufo, you are the weakest link. Goodbye.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Did you gamble, Shohei Ohtani?
結論から言うと、彼が僕の...
Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies.
Today's guest, hosts of the Alternate Roots Podcast, Trey Wingo and Kevin Frazier, NC State forward DJ Burns Jr., Bears general manager Ryan Poles, actor and comedian Jeff Garland. And now... It's Rich Eisen.
Oh, my goodness. Our cup runneth over with guests and good times here on this Tuesday edition of the Rich Eisen Show live right here on the Roku channel from Los Angeles, California, from our Rich Eisen Show set. We're thrilled to have a conversation with you. Call us at 844-204-RICH would be the number to dial. We say hello to everybody watching on the Roku channel. Free on all Roku devices known to mankind. Also, it's free on select Samsung Smart TVs, Amazon Fire TV. It's free on the Roku app because the Roku channel's on it. And then there's the RokuChannel.com. For those who are listening on the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio audience or Sirius XM Odyssey or our podcast, all 3 hours available via podcast. I'm wearing an outstanding blue sweater that matches the color scheme of the show. So I'm just trying to paint the word picture for you. We've got three in-studio guests, two at once, one at the end of the program. The one at the end of the program is Jeff Garland. He's back on this show, diehard Bears fan, and we will front-load that conversation with a chat with the general manager of the Chicago Bears. Ryan Poles will join us from the owners' meeting where NFC teams sent their coaches in front of microphones today, and the owners just made a big rule change, which we'll get to in a second. Also on this show... DJ Burns Jr., your guy who you love watching play basketball, TJ Jefferson, the big fella from NC State. The Wolfpack are in the Sweet 16, the ACC tournament champs are one of four ACC teams, a quarter of the field remaining in the men's side of March Madness, are all from the Atlantic Coast Conference, which also includes Stanford and Cal. Which is wild because they're not on the Atlantic coast, but I digress. All I know is one of the more dynamic and watchable and enjoyable to watch players in the tournament. It's going to be on this program. And first up, a little Sports Center anchor reunion. Although I think Kay Frazier had a little bit of just a cup of coffee, right? I don't know how long. Forget how long he was on SportsCenter.
He was there, and then he came right to Fox Sports. Well, I remember working early days on Fox Sports. Then.
Well, well, I went to ET after.
Yeah.
So Mike's all over his career path.
I've been next to Kay Frazier on the Oscars red carpet.
Was that when we had?
I think that was
Hines Ward, or was that
Ed Reed year? I think that was the Ed
back when the Rich Eisen podcast, which birthed this show. We used to send players to the Oscars red carpet. At any rate, they've got a neat new podcast called Alternate. I guess I should have asked before. Is it Roots or Routes? Alternate Routes. I'll call it that. It's sort of a what if podcast from the sports world. Like, what if the NBA didn't veto the Chris Paul trade? What happened then? Or if Jordan had missed the shot against Georgetown, which of course we all know would never happen. Because Jordan had had Patrick Ewing at hello, as all Knicks fans know. So they're going to come out here shortly to have this conversation. What if they hadn't? What if I told you? Good to see you, Chris Brockman.
Hey,
how
Rich.
Are you?
I'm great. What's up?
Mike Del Tufo's back, everybody. He's back.
This is it.
What do you mean?
For the week. UFL starts.
Oh.
Starting tomorrow.
Oh, there's games tomorrow?
No, but I'm going. He's I got a setup.
3 day setup.
It's no, like it's, when you talk about
I'm gonna be,
setting
I'm gonna be
up,
working with The Rock.
You keep saying, talking about setting up like you're the one literally digging the hole in the ground and setting the wires underground.
What
like,
I want you guys to know,
yes,
and I want you, know, you guys have to understand this. When I say set up, there is a lot that goes in. You guys think like you have like your little
you're,
spot.
You're right. We think this is a setup.
Exactly.
Yes.
For you guys, it's different. Okay. We have a lot of technical stuff.
3 days?
I have a 25-page audio book just on audio. For the UFL games.
So, why would...
It's like
what,
the kickoff.
I love how he says
kickoff.
It's just on audio, and it's called an audio book. What, I mean, what else would it be
video
about?
Video books and stuff.
What?
But here's what we got to do. One day, I need you guys, just real quick.
Nope.
You guys need to come and watch them and see what I do in
we
a booth.
See what you do every day.
I would do that, actually.
Brockman wants to do it.
Okay,
and TJ
good.
Definitely does.
I know.
Just Instagram it out.
Like, I need a selfie with The Rock.
We'll miss you.
End of the year, I'm
we'll waiting. Miss you. You're back.
Yes.
You're back.
Yes.
Although you haven't left yet.
No.
And TJ, the candle's lit. Good to see you.
Sweater. I got a CM Punk shirt on because he came back.
Oh,
Raw yesterday.
Very
good. He was cooking.
Very good. Hey, listen, everybody. There's a new rule in the NFL. When the NFL kicks off, when it kicks off on the Thursday after Labor Day, and it's going to be the Chiefs versus fill in the blank, and I don't know if they're going to fill in the blank over the next 24 hours. They usually do, you know, pop out a few announcements, you know.
Well, didn't somebody on the Browns leak that they're playing the Brazil game against the Eagles?
I do believe it was Mo Hurst, Michigan Wolverine finest, did say.
I don't know if he was supposed to do
that. The Browns are starting in in Brazil against the Eagles the first Friday, the Friday after kickoff.
I don't think that's supposed to happen.
The reason why I'm getting a little bit too deep in the weeds here is when toe meets ball, when it's time to kick off, you're going to see an immediate change to the way the NFL has ever kicked off a game. On the spot. Now, if you've watched a lot of XFL football, you'll notice this. And the NFL's not calling it the XFL rule to the NFL. They don't do that sort of thing. It's now a modified kickoff because the NFL years ago started digging deeper and deeper into the numbers. And every single player safety individual that works at 345 Park Avenue, the headquarters of the NFL, has been telling anybody with a set of ears over the last several years that the most dangerous play in football, the one that leads to the most concussions, is a kickoff. Because what ended up happening was as soon as the ball got kicked off, guys would be in a full running speed downhill, going straight for the one guy who's standing back there catching the football with a host of other blockers in front of him, and they would meet right in the middle of the field like the scene from Braveheart without, you know, the swords. And they would just, it would just be this large collection of large individuals wearing pads and helmets, just slamming into each other. And that's the way, obviously we know kickoffs went down, and that's the way that, Devin Hester wound up in the Hall of Fame this coming summer. By the way, the Bears are playing in that game. And, so long story short is the NFL decided to change the way that you could block, the way that you could also only have certain guys on either side of the kicker. You can't overload one side of the field. And also the folks who were running down the field to tackle anybody would have to be stationary until toe met ball. And then what ended up happening is this past year, they allowed for a fair catch coming off of the kickoff, and thus the kickoff essentially died. Only 22% of kickoffs this year were returned, period, at all. And you could see the number of times that somebody with a big leg will just kick the ball into the end zone, and leading to my now 13-year-old son saying, "Dad, don't you think the team that's kicking off, and if the kicker does kick it through the uprights, they should get points for that?" Because the number of heavy-legged guys, they can actually kick the ball through the uprights from the kickoff point. On a tee. So the NFL decided to do something about this. And they voted it in today. 29 of the 32 teams saying yes. And what it is, best I can tell, because, you know, it's half the size of Mike Del Tufo's UFL audiobook. It's a 10-page document that got sent out from the competition committee. 10 pages. But the essential thing is this. The kicker still kicks from the same spot. The kicker stays like before. Okay? Like the Rent in Godfather Part 2. Stays like before. Except he's standing there, sort of like the Untouchables. Man stands alone. He stands out there by himself and kicks the ball while his tacklers, line up on the receiving team's 40-yard line. So they're going to be, there's just one guy on, say, if the Chiefs' side of the 50-yard line.
Okay.
Standing right there. Harrison Butker's just standing by himself at the kickoff point.
Solo.
The rest of the Chiefs are going to be on whoever is their opponent. And let's say they get the ball first. Because, you know, everybody takes the ball when they play the Kansas City Chiefs, I guess, in big games, right? Sorry, Niners fans. Hashtag too soon.
Ouch.
And so the Chiefs will be standing on fill-in-the-blank's 40-yard line. And the other team, the blockers will be standing, from what I understand, on their own either 35 or 30, depending on which page I could see. And so they're only going to be 5 yards apart. So 35-yard line. 5 yards apart, standing right there, and they cannot move until the receiver catches the football or the ball enters what's called the target zone.
How are they going to know that?
And that target zone is in between the 20-yard line and the goal line. If the ball is kicked into the end zone for a touchback, you now get the ball in your own 30, not the 25, your own 30. All right. And if the ball bounces into the target zone and rolls into the end zone, you now get the ball in your own 20. So it behooves you to receive the football and not let it bounce into your end zone. So they're trying to incentivize the receiving team to return it. And they're trying to incentivize the kicking team to not kick it into the end zone, to make sure the receiving team does actually have a chance to receive it. And then the receiving team has an actual chance to return it successfully, deeply into their own territory, if not through, one would think, this 5-yard area where guys are now going to be colliding. Instead of it being a huge field's worth of people running into each other, it's just stationary folks blocking one another in a 5-yard area that is conceivably 25 yards north or 20 yards north of whoever's receiving it. So all they have to do is get through that 5-yard area, mosh pit filled with, I guess, technically, what would you say, 20 other people. And if they get through, it's just a kicker back there. So that's the kickoff. I think I've done a credible job of explaining it to everybody.
You are a professional.
Well, I mean, I've been scouring this report like Del Tufo wants anybody who has his audiobook to scour that to know what they're talking about. Well, you notice I keep mentioning the audiobook to get Mike out of his phone, which he would never do to The Rock.
Well done.
He would never do that to The Rock. In a million years, would he do that to The Rock?
Rich, in his defense, he had 15 more pages to study than
Understood. Well, he's the one creating the book.
Okay, I know you like this, right?
I like it because I've hated what the kickoffs turned into.
Which means, which goes back to what I said yesterday, they should just get rid of it. We'll just start each drive on the 30 anyway after points. It's much simpler. You're all about player safety. Like let's go this way, okay? Yep. There are 4 kickoff return for touchdowns last year. Are you taking the over and under or under for 2024?
Oh, I'll take the over on that, pal. Absolutely taking the over on that. A million percent taking the over on that. Absolutely taking the over on that. There may be, if I don't know if you can look up this stat or not, but look up the stat of number of games in which there were multiple kickoff returns for a touchdown. I bet you the last one was Nyheim Hines in that game when the Bills came back to Buffalo when Damar Hamlin waved to the crowd, right? Of course, Mike Hoskins has that picture available. Our Buffalo Bills loving coordinating producer. So, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I'm taking the over on that. It's just, all you got to do is get through the 20 guys, and all you got to do is look for the crease. Look for the hole.
That's the case.
Find it, and he's gone.
I'm taking my best athlete who's not starting. I'm teaching him how to just kick the ball off, because if I have one line of defense, right, is the kicker.
Oh, my gosh. So you're going to try and teach a speedy guy, you're going to, like, a non-specialist to be a specialist?
Because otherwise, if he gets through, like you said, what's the chance a kicker has to,
What they can do is...
What chances?
No, you're going to not want to replace the kicker, in all honesty. Because the kicker can be the guy to just pop it in the air, land it on the 15-yard line or in the 10-yard line or the 5-yard line. Because the receiver's not going to want to let it drop and roll into the end zone, because now you only get the ball in the 20.
Yards,
so you're going to want this ball to be high in the air. And I guess it doesn't matter the hang time either, because, you know, the...
can't move anyway, because
these players can't move until the ball, I guess, crosses the 20-yard line. That'll be interesting. to see if everybody and I guess it's a bit of a disadvantage for the receiving team's blockers, because what are you gonna have to
turn
and look, whereas the tacklers, the pursuers, will have a full view of where it lands.
So that split second is going to get somebody knocked out.
Right. I don't know. Or there'll be somebody on the line that's turned around to see when it starts with a hand up, and then they go down, and that, now you could see when it's time to run.
So very confusing.
I don't know. Or you move when the other team moves. But the bottom line is, because everyone's now lined up on the other side of the 50-yard line, because that's happening now. Okay. Onside kicks are finished. They're over. The surprise onside kick, pardon me, are finished. Because you got it. You now have to declare, I'm onside kicking, because you can't just have a surprise onside kick where it's one dude by himself 40 yards clear, because he'll easily just boot it 10 yards and recover it and go, well, it's our ball. So you need to let everyone know, come on back from the other side of the field. We're going to line up like old school. And we're going to now be allowed to have an unbalanced line. We're now going to be allowed to have six on one side. And the surprise will be which side you're kicking it to. You're going to kick it to where there's fewer people, or you're going to kick it to where there's more people. That's going to be the surprise of it. It's just the, hey, surprise of coming out the second half of a Super Bowl like the Saints did on the Colts and shock them. Those days are over. You now must declare your one opportunity to have an onside kick.
Can I quote Chris Brockman here?
Tread lightly.
This is
the
insane
phrase.
Thank you.
Seriously, what are we doing?
Thank you. 11 times a player has returned a kickoff twice for a touchdown in a game. Naheem Himes, the most recent. Before that, Leon Washington in 2010.
Yeah.
Josh Cribbs in 09. Ted Ginn in 09. Of course, Devin Hester did it in 2006.
I will just say that we'll have multiple games where there's multiple returns for touchdowns in it.
I think
not just from
crazy.
The same guy, but maybe from one from each team. I think it's definitely going to be more than four. That's for sure. So, Ryan Pohl's going to join us in the middle of this program. Jeff Garland, diehard Bears fan, hour number three. DJ Burns Jr., your guy.
I mean,
is going to be joining us top of hour number two. But when we come back, two in studio guests go way back like a car seat with Trey Wingo and Kevin Frazier. They're here together in support of their new podcast, Alternate Routes. Don't go anywhere. This is edition of the Rich Eisen Show you don't want to miss.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. With Indeed, everything hiring is all in one place, and it makes it so easy. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences each day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join the more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Indeed.com/podcast. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
I got an email today from the LenPenzo.com HR department. I find it really interesting. I'm an employee of one at this company, but somebody from the HR department sent me an email telling me that I had a raise. If I just opened the attachment, I could see how much my raise was.
Make sure you click on the links that are in there, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Back here on the Roku channel, our radio audience will return in 2 minutes' time, but there's no time like the present to introduce two friends who are here together on the Rich Eisen Show. Is it alternate routes or routes? How do we say this?
Routes. Routes. We decided if we were Canadian, it would be Roots.
Roots.
Or if Roots wants to sponsor the show, then it would be alternate routes.
Well, it would be a different phrasing of it.
So it was a huge debate.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
How do you want to pronounce it? Routes? Roots? Roots? Routes?
Routes.
Routes.
Alternate Routes is the new podcast from the Wondery group of people who put out the podcasts. It's with my friends Trey Wingo and Kevin Frazier here on the program. Good to see you. That's worthy a round of applause.
Oh, you're far too kind.
Oh, listen, anybody that Del Tufo can say I know for a long time makes him very excited.
I mean,
you guys know each other forever, right?
We go way back to Fox Sports, the early days, some of the worst sports TV ever made. Listen, there's no shame in that. And we all do bad things, and it was bad. It was bad. Some bad days.
How bad was it, right? Isn't that the Johnny Carson? How bad was it?
Well, here's the thing. Then Keith arrived to rescue the ship and steady the ship.
KO.
Yeah.
KO. What year was this?
We were 94, 95.
96. We started November 96.
Yeah, that's when I started on SportsCenter. And then you came 97?
97.
97.
I was 1 year behind you.
I remember all of
one
that.
1 year and several classes below you.
That's ridiculous.
There was a hierarchy at SportsCenter.
Oh, come on.
There was definitely a hierarchy.
Where did you get? Hold on a minute. The radio audience is going to come back before we start really digging into this sort of thing. Yeah. And then we'll talk about the new episodes of Alternate Routes.
Routes.
Released every single Tuesday. What a fascinating concept this is. What if moment in sports, thus the arrows.
Yes,
the different direction.
Oh, and it's also a diamond for baseball, and there I see the football. Okay, I'm seeing all this stuff. Now I'm picking up.
It's
whatever.
Like they knew what they were doing.
And you too. Well, you know what you were doing as well.
That's a stretch at this
Trey
point.
Wingo and Kevin Frazier are here. I'm back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. It's supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And if there's two guys who understand that soap must be sold right in the middle of a conversation, it's these two guys, the host of Alternate Routes, the podcast about what-if scenarios in sports being presented to you via Wondery. My friends Trey Wingo and Kevin Frazier here on the program. How did you guys get fixed up? You guys have known each other since the SportsCenter days? Is that basically it?
Yeah. You came in 2002?
I came in 2001.
2001.
Okay. 2001, the first, yeah.
So the first time we ever hung out was the 2002 NBA All-Star game.
Yes, it was.
In Atlanta. Yes.
Okay.
And
so,
my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Long time ago.
It was a long time. The worst traffic ever in All-Star game. So
well, bad. I mean, just name, you fill in the blank for any of the sporting events in Atlanta. Worst traffic
there's one
ever.
Way in, one way out.
That's pretty much it.
Terrible.
Was that the new Phillips Arena, or is it still the old, like, Omni back in that day?
I remember, that was Michael Jeffrey Jordan's swan song. That was, as a Wizard, that was his last All-Star game.
How did you get in? How did Stuart Scott let you get in the building?
Actually, that's a great story.
Okay.
Stu says, hey, I'm having lunch. Meet me in lunch at the Ritz. So I walk down in there, and people might know that I enjoy the game of golf, and I'm fascinated by one certain golfer.
Yes.
And I walk in, and Stu is having lunch with Tiger Woods.
Oh, of course he was.
And I'm like... so I just sort of sneak in, and hey, Stu, and Tiger goes, hey, Trey. I'm like, oh, hey, Tiger, what's up?
Is that right?
So then after that, I'm sort of starstruck, and I leave the thing, and I'm calling my dad on an early cell phone, the size of a brick house, and I have it next to my head, and the elevator door opens. I'm so excited to tell my dad the story. The elevator door opens up, and I barge in before letting people out, and I run into this large human being, and he goes, Wingo, watch where you're going. Oh, Michael, sorry, apologize.
Ah.
So like in like a 30-second span, Tiger and Michael both said my name. I was like, take me now. I'm good.
Right?
I'm good.
That's cool.
That Ritz was the epicenter of craziness during that All-Star game. Michael had a suite where Charles Oakley was kind of the security guard.
Of course.
And he had World Wide West in there and a bunch of other guys. And it was bananas.
Yeah.
It was bananas. Greg Anthony took me in there. I didn't get entree without Greg Anthony.
See, he goes everywhere.
Without Greg Anthony.
Well, I mean, and Stu had to have, he knew he was going to have lunch with Tiger.
Correct.
And he knew you were a big Tiger fan.
Correct.
And he says, well, you just come by at lunch.
Yeah.
That sounds just straight up his alley.
It was pretty cool.
That Stu would have the perfect combination of sweet consideration of others while also humble bragging the entire time.
Come have lunch with me.
Come have lunch.
See who this is.
Eldrick will be there.
And by the way, when we show off, talking about the hierarchy at SportsCenter, it's the Rich and Stu days.
Correct.
We were in the middle of the Rich and Stu days.
Correct.
And I always used to look across, and there would be Rich reading the newspaper. And this is also when Rich got the girl. We were just back in the green room, and we saw a great picture of Rich and Susie together in London. And I always remember looking across, and maybe it was Van Pelt or one of those guys that said, how did he get her? Yeah. How did he get her?
The world is full of mysteries. I
mean, the world is full of mysteries.
And by the way, saw Susie a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, she still looks amazing. How did you get her?
You know what? Patience is a virtue, sir. Yeah.
Okay. There's a patience fine line a between love and stalking. There's a very fine line.
I think the police...
It's an important line,
yes.
But it's a very fine line.
This is her sign when she hosts the show. She takes my best dad ever, and she puts the best mom ever sign out there. Mm-hmm. Well, she loves you, Kay Frazier, and she knows you from back in the day, too.
Absolutely.
Trey Wingo. Well, it's good to see you guys here.
It's good to be here.
All right. How did you come up with this concept of the pod?
Well, I mean, I think it's one thing that everyone talks about. Like, for example, your coordinating producer.
Mm-hmm. Mike Hoskins?
Yes.
Diehard Bills fan?
My heart bleeds. Okay? Being a Buffalo Bills fan is nothing but pain and misery and agony.
Worse.
You know, what Buffalo Bills fan doesn't say, what if Norwood made the kick?
Mm-hmm.
What if it isn't wide right? How much different do we think about the Bills as a franchise? They might have won all four of those Super Bowls.
Right.
You know, that one missed kick, because they probably should have won two of those four. You know, the Cowboys won when they were up 13-6 in Super Bowl 28 at halftime, and they were shut out in the second half. They lose 30-13.
Right.
And then that one, if they win that first one, maybe they win all four in a row. And we're talking about the greatest run in the history of the Super Bowl and how we look at that franchise. What does that do to Jimmy Johnson and the Dallas Cowboys and Troy Aikman and their legacy? Everything goes a different way.
Or Parcells, obviously.
Exactly.
Everything.
You know? Everything.
And so it's all about looking and finding those alternate routes.
Routes.
The alternate routes. See? We even have to do it to ourselves. The alternate routes, wherever you go. What if David Stern doesn't veto the Chris Paul trade?
Boom.
And Chris Paul ends up in L.A.?
What if playing with Kobe.
For the Lakers.
Yeah. And what does that do to the league? Like, remember, Chris Paul, because of that, became adamant about player rights and player representation and player power. And the NBA Players Association became the strongest union in the league basically because of that. Mm. Does any of that happen if he comes here and plays with Kobe?
And by the way, we now know that Andrew Bynum was going bone on bone with those knees. And so if they kept him as their center, that was a losing proposition. So maybe they don't win.
I can't imagine another situation like that happening right now, right? Where there's a trade.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it also involved a franchise that was
taken over by the league.
Taken over by the league.
Well, yeah. I mean, like,
you know,
well,
and
remember,
so
Bud Selig, when he was the temporary was it temporary commissioner? What was his?
The acting commissioner.
Whatever it was. Yeah. He was still the owner of the Brewers for like 10 years before he actually took the actual job of being the commissioner of baseball.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay, so you just sit around and ideate which one would be make for a good pod. And
there are a million of them, Rich, though. Right now, you can run off and rattle off
a
thousand.
And we try and get as crazy as possible, but real. Like, for example, there's a one where we're doing, what if, because the Lakers and Bulls had a coin flip to find out who would get Magic Johnson, number one overall in the 1979 draft. Well, what if the Bulls won that coin flip? There's a scenario there where somehow we have Charles Barkley as the first African-American president of the United States.
Hold on, you play it out.
It actually makes sense.
I'm not going to tell you on the show.
We're going to have to listen to that episode.
Wow.
You know, I mean, that's, one would say that's a leap.
Yeah.
But you do connect dots all the way through.
Butterfly effect.
Is Kevin Bacon involved in any way, shape, or form? Degree.
Well, in almost every episode, Tom Brady is.
Tom Brady is in there almost affects Tom every Brady. Episode.
Yeah.
Every episode.
Even the Chris Paul trade.
What if Barry Bonds didn't go to the Giants somehow changes Tom Brady's career forever?
Yeah. What if he goes to the Yankees? What if Barry ends up in the Yankees or someplace else?
Yeah.
Playing with another guy.
Yeah.
You do realize this is nightmare fuel for the fans who did have this stuff go their way.
Well, actually, you know what I mean? We conclude every episode by saying, okay, whatever, fans, that was just this. We're all good now. It did happen the way you wanted it to happen. So, can I just say one thing?
There's no place like home.
Yeah. I will say this. This is one of the more intimidating studios around.
What are you talking about?
But I just found the most intimidating thing in this studio.
What is that?
What is the most intimidating?
Well, I had to use the facilities.
Yes.
Before we came onto the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm in there facilitating, and over the thing where you facilitate is a picture of Bill Belichick saying, do your job.
Yes, indeed.
I've never had more difficulty.
Is that right?
That was a lot of pressure.
Bill
staring down at you like that.
By the end of the day,
yeah,
was the job done?
finished, accomplished.
You know, you're a big
boy
now.
The coffee worked.
You're a big boy now, Trey.
The coffee worked.
But isn't this also where you get to keep all your stuff?
Very good.
There it is, right there. Do your job.
Do your job.
Well, how is anybody not going to be like, oh, okay, I'm on it?
Well, we thought Bill smiling would be would be helpful, you know?
Okay, then it's not the stern Bill. Why is he smirking? Is he taking a shot?
He could be.
Is he taking a shot?
He could be.
Is he evaluating the situation and saying, really?
I don't know.
Really?
That's another alternate route right there.
And your green room, that is correct. It feels very Jimmy Kimmel. You know that.
I appreciate that.
It feels like you're a Kimmel.
Do you know who helped redesign the green room? Choose the paint, choose a lot of that stuff.
Best mom ever?
Susie Schuster.
There you go.
Absolutely. And also, if you see so many of these neat items that we have here, do you know who was the one who said, you know where that would look better?
That's what I was going to think. House? This is where your wife was like, take all your crap and get out. Because that's what happens in my house. Yeah. We have incredible memorabilia. Like, we gather stuff.
Yeah. Sure.
And our wives don't give a damn. They're like, I was like, wait a minute. That's from Tiger. And it's signed. And she's like, yeah.
And
put it in a corner.
That's right.
What's your point?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I do get a lot of the, you know, that would look good. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that would look good in your studio. It's a terrible analogy, but I'll make it anyway. You remember Poltergeist?
Oh, yeah.
Where the entity would just suck all the belongings out of the
room.
Still
one of the scariest movies ever made.
And make them disappear.
Yeah.
That's my life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're looking for something. You're like, remember I had that thing from the 2000?
We have one chair in our house that I brought to the marriage.
Yeah.
And it's it. Everything else, I'm just I just walk around.
Know your role.
And by the way, Rich, you had an office at SportsCenter? Didn't Rich have?
No way.
Rich had an office.
I did at the very end.
Cubicles.
I had no.
Cubicles.
Excuse me. I was pleased. This was a big issue for me.
Big deal at SportsCenter.
Yes, yes, yes. I was cubicled all the way up till about eight. I was cubicled all the way up to about 8 months before the end of my last contract, and then I was boxed.
Yeah.
Like, here's your cardboard box. So I went from cubicle to an office, to a cardboard box, just like that. That's how fast
you
it can
had
go.
An office. Trey had an office.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I did.
Well, you had one. Well, I mean, how long were you there? You were there for
24 years.
I hope you had an office at some point. By what point? What year did you finally get the office?
You and I were cubicle close to each other for a while.
Yes, we were.
And then I think I got the office maybe like a year after you left.
Okay.
So maybe
so 2004.
I think I might have inherited your office. That's a huge thing, though. People don't understand.
They have no
idea.
It's
a huge thing to get an office. There's so many little things that you used to like cling onto as a sign of validation over there.
I'm not going to call out a current SportsCenter anchor.
Yeah, now you are.
Who got an office early, and it caused a huge problem. Not that guy. No. Let me say this. Yeah. But, Greeny. Remember when Greeny got his office?
Yeah.
And I mean, and everybody was up in arms. They're like, oh my God, he got an office. How did so-and-so get an office? But I never forget, at Fox Sports, we were on a movie lot. We had dressing rooms with like microwaves and, you know, we had a wardrobe department and all this. So I come to ESPN. You had nothing.
By the way, and because of Susie, I knew what they had at Fox.
Yes.
And I knew you coming to ESPN would be... shall we say a moment?
Yeah,
it'll be a moment for you.
It was shocking. I'll never forget doing the NBA with Tim Hardaway and us both standing in our underwear in a cubicle.
Yeah,
and I'm like, what in the hell is going on here?
Just trying to create that locker room atmosphere. Man.
Where's the wardrobe department?
By the way, it sounds like a SportsCenter commercial, doesn't it?
Yeah,
you and Tim Hardaway, and he was probably in his Golden State Warriors uniform if it was a SportsCenter commercial, which by the way was another moment of validation.
Oh,
I remember when it was time for SportsCenter commercial time.
Oh my God, you got the call sheet.
And they would, the members of the ESPN, I guess, ad sales department or whatever was in charge of it.
Yeah.
They would walk around with the book of scripts like this up against their chest.
It's like,
and they would say, hold on a minute, here's your script. And they would go through it and like, all right, how many am I not in?
Yeah.
Rich, you were in a lot of SportsCenter commercials.
I was in a handful of them. But not as much as you think.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Trey, you did a bunch.
I did a bunch early, and then once I did NFL Live, we don't do commercials for NFL.
I was in it. My first one that I was
what
in.
What was your favorite
my
one?
The first one I was in, and it was like week five for me, or six, and I couldn't believe they put me in it, which was great. It was a host of SportsCenter anchors passing around Kerry Strug.
Yep, I remember that.
With her ankle wrapped because that had just happened in the 96 Olympics with Bella Caroli was carrying her. And a bunch of SportsCenter anchors handed her off one to the other. I think I might have handed her off to Gary Miller, who handed her off to Keith, who handed her off to the Michigan State Spartan mascot, to Sparty. That was the gag. And her mom was not very happy.
I was about to say, how did they convince her? I got this great idea. We're going to pass you around.
I know. that was my first ever SportsCenter commercial. Yeah. The one that is the two that are most lasting are one where I got sent down to the minors.
Oh, I remember that one.
That was a good one.
And where I was not happy about that.
I remember that.
I was I was not happy about that because I had been there on SportsCenter for 3-4 years.
But see, that's how fragile the ecosystem was there, right? You clung to anything. I remember when the vacation list came out and you needed to see how many people were ahead of you before you could pick your vacation time.
I'll tell this story. I don't care. Should I tell this story? You know which story I'm going to tell too, because Chris has been around too long. Yeah. So I'm going to tell this story. Okay, so I get to SportsCenter in 96 from Redding, California. You came from St. Louis, and you came from Fox Sports. Yeah. I came from, like, deep down the list of
Missoula, ranked, Montana.
Okay, I forget what number we were.
Yeah. Market-wise.
Market-wise, right. So I came from the middle of, if you will, nowhere, and I'm on the air from Redding, and I love you folks, but this is honestly how I showed up. And I went in for vacation days right off the bat because I had already had planned a vacation with my high school buddies that I would already put my money out for. And I was broke. I was flat broke when I was hired, like flat broke. Yeah. And I couldn't get out of it. Yeah. And I want, so I immediately asked for a week's vacation on the first day of showing up from Redding, California. And they were cool with it. Okay. They're like, fine, we understand, you can have it. Yeah. And then I asked for the Jewish high holidays off. Yeah. And they told me I couldn't have Yom Kippur off because you couldn't have more than 3 SportsCenter anchors ask for the same day off. And I'm like, okay. And I went in my head, I'm like, who asked for Yom Kippur off? Linda Cohn.
Yeah.
Steve Levy, Jack Edwards. And I'm like, Jack Edwards.
One of these things is not like the other.
And I basically said, how is, like, can I ask Jack for having it? And they explained to me that he had married, a Jewish lady.
Gotcha.
And we all know who she is. She's a wonderful lady. And we've all worked with her. She's a producer. And so I said, like, you know, it was like a Seinfeld episode where I said, I'm like, can I speak to him about it, do you think? Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, I mean, he's been here longer than you. You just showed up. And I'm like, but this is Seinfeld. I'm more tenured as a Jew, though.
He's in it for the jokes. He's in it
literally
for the jokes.
Was the yada
of fluoride.
It was a yada, yada, yada episode. Yeah.
Oh, my
God. Where Jack was, you know, the Tim Watley character. Needless to say, didn't get the day off, I did get the week off.
There you go.
You know,
people don't understand that it's such a unique experience having worked in that building. And in the golden age. And I think sometimes we forget that what it was like. By the way, I only got to do one SportsCenter commercial and I was in a drawer and they pulled me out.
Oh, it was the NBA?
No, it was the writing. It was writer's block and how we deal with writer's block. And they pulled me out of a drawer. And, you know, I come there from Fox, you know, and I was already sitting behind Keith, who did all the commercials. You remember the Keith's head on every ballpark in Major League Baseball. You guys know. And Michael, you remember this. Like, my job was like, I'd do a highlight and then Keith would do like a whole block of the show. Yeah. Then I'd come back and I'd do a highlight.
Come on.
And Keith, Mike, tell.
100%. Oh, at Fox you're talking about.
Yeah, Fox.
Not
at Fox. Not at ESPN. No, at Fox.
Oh, because Keith was probably gone by the time you showed up.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Right. So when I got there, I was just like, man, I can't wait to do a SportsCenter commercial. And so I got to do that one. And then they said, but we got something else for you. You can do the ad for the ESPN restaurants. They're all out of business now. Yeah. So.
The ESPN zones.
Yes, all the ESPN zones.
One memorabilia I still have in my house. I did a poster. For the ESPN, I was the maitre d' at the ESPN Zone restaurant.
I was the waiter.
Yeah.
I was the waiter.
So we screwed that one up pretty bad, apparently.
Here we go. Okay. Well, Wondery. Thank God Wondery brought us in.
Yes, good luck to alternate routes.
That was an alternate route for sure.
Yeah, that was.
How about this one? What if Rich, in his first run in the 40, pulled a hammy?
Wow. What happens?
Oh, God. Well, I have pulled a hamstring.
Or a crew, as Bill Pito would say.
I did pull a hamstring 1 year running the 40, and I'm like, well, that's the end of that. I'm like, we can't air it. And Mayock said, what are you talking about? Yeah. And I'm like, well, I mean, I didn't finish. He goes, it's exactly why you should show it.
Exactly. Right.
You know, he goes, you should definitely show it because you're just like everyone else. And I'm like, oh, well, hasn't that already been established with my speed the last 10
Aren't
years?
Aren't your kids faster than you now?
We'll find out because we're running at the Rose Bowl and my kids run as well on the 20th. You guys come out if you're
They're
in the
faster
area, please.
Than you. They've got to be faster.
Let's come on out. Bring your whole entertainment tonight crew,
we'll
brother.
Come on out for the run.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, come on.
Please, let's come do on. That. Seriously.
Your son is a big boy.
He is that. Oh, you saw him, right?
Yeah.
At basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's 6 feet, my youngest son.
He's a big boy. So I also think he could outrun you.
He got Susie's jeans. There we all know that. That's what you're thinking. I understand what you're thinking.
It's okay. I don't want to go there.
It's all right.
We knew that.
It's all good. Do you guys want to stick around one more segment? Do you guys got to go somewhere? All right. We'll go down memory lane with Trey Wingo, pardon me. And,
it's all good.
And Kay Frazier. Kevin Frazier here. Wondery's Alternate Routes podcast available widely on Amazon Music and wherever you get your podcasts every Tuesday.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Title Transference aired October 27, 2004. Director James Marshall, writers Todd Slavkin, Darren Swimmer. I really like this episode, and I'm surprised that you don't like it as much as you thought you did.
I actually respect your opinion more than I respect my own in general. When you say things are good and I check them out, they are.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Hi there. Sorry for the interruption, but are you enjoying this show on Google Podcasts? You should know that the Google Podcasts app is going away this spring. That's right, going away, gone as in no longer available. You can still enjoy this show elsewhere, though. Try out Spotify or Amazon Music, or maybe TuneIn is more your style. Whatever app you switch to, be sure to follow so you never miss the next episode. And thanks for listening, wherever you listen.
Another alternate route would be us having the conversation off the air, on the air.
That would be a very alternate
route. That would be a hell of a route.
It's funny, Stewart once said back in the day that he wanted to have a pay-per-view Sports Center.
Yeah.
Where we would do SportsCenter work in blue.
ESPN and Blue.
ESPN Blue?
Yeah.
Is that the conversation?
Blue. Yeah, ESPN
we really
blue.
Thought.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like just go out, you know, call people bums.
Yeah.
You know, worse.
Trash.
Worse.
Worse than that?
Much worse. Much worse.
Oh, my God. What was your favorite SportsCenter commercial?
Well, I was fortunate because they did a whole SportsCenter commercial about my name.
Mm-hmm.
Which one was that? Jerry Stackhouse.
Yeah.
It was shot at my cubicle.
Yeah.
And it's Jerry Stackhouse sitting in my chair, the cubicle, and I'm sitting on my desk, and he goes, seriously, man, what's your real name? I said, it's Trey Wingo. And he just starts cracking up hysterically at my name. And it was my favorite for that, and also because when you look at Jerry's face laughing, there's a picture of our kids when they were very young. So they were on TV for 3 and 5 laughing because Jerry Stackhouse was making fun of my name.
It was a great one.
Is Stackhouse a coach now somewhere?
He just got fired.
He just got
Vanderbilt.
Fired at Vanderbilt, right? Yeah. He was at Vanderbilt, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's when you know you've been in this business too long is when guys that we covered are now coaches and have been fired, or their sons are now being drafted.
That's the thing.
All
the kids,
their sons are being
Joey
drafted.
Joey Porter Jr.
Yeah. All the kids. It's horrifying.
Devin Bush Jr.
Yeah,
and
it's
just Patrick Surtain Jr. All of them. Oh, I'm not your kid play. Asante Samuel Jr. It's like, really? I remember when your dad was doing what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
That's a tough one. I mean, even think of Shaq's kids are grown.
Yeah.
They're grown. Bronny is grown. I remember doing LeBron's first game in the summer league.
Yeah.
And now Bronny is in college.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting here again with Trey Wingo and Kevin Frazier. Check out Alternate Routes, the podcast available widely on Amazon Music and wherever you get your podcast from Wondery. And it is all about what ifs in the sports world. I guess we could do that right now.
Sure.
Like,
what if they handed the ball off to Marshawn Lynch?
He doesn't want that one.
He gets tackled.
He still gets tackled.
Come on.
Maybe. It was second down.
It was He had chances. He had chances.
He had 100 plus yards
chances
in that game.
That's
they give it to him three times. Oh, here's a really good one. Because I know Brockmaster Flash there is is the mass holiest of mass holes.
Yes, he is.
So if that, it's a compliment,
Thank you. Thank you.
Because if they lose that Super Bowl, it's a decade since they won their last Super Bowl. A decade. Then what happens? Does Brady get shipped out earlier and say, we can't win with this guy anymore, we got to go with Jimmy G?
The real what if, on if you want to talk about Brady being shipped out, is what if, you know, the Falcons actually closed out 28-3.
Yes, correct.
Like, what if the Falcons just actually made the right plays in the fourth quarter?
How about
that
on
Super
third
Bowl?
And one, you don't have a 7-step drop? How about you just hand the ball off there?
Because I remember the old Twitter machine.
You don't mean?
Not the X. We're not throwing up the X.
We don't do that.
The old Twitter at halftime was all about Brady's
washed. Complete.
And worse than the, you know, moving on to Cincinnati night.
Correct.
Like, he's washed. This is Jimmy Garoppolo's team. Like, where is Jimmy G? Like, that was for sure.
Yeah.
Rich, at that Super Bowl, and, you know, I'm stalking celebrities now in my new life. And
that's one way to put it, Kevin.
And I am.
Your new life.
I'm literally walking over to a suite to talk to Mark Wahlberg. And out here
again,
he comes.
Kevin, suite. Mark Wahlberg.
No, but I'm on the outside. But Mark is walking away, and he's like, Kevin, I can't talk. His kid's crying. Yeah. He's like, I got to get him out of the building. I've just got to get him out of the building.
He got crushed for leaving, right?
Yeah. Well, he left because his kid was distraught. I mean, his kid was devastated.
It was 28-3.
He's like, I
got to get. It was 28-3.
I got to get my kid out of the building because he's melting down. Yeah. You know, when your kid melts down, there's nothing you can do. And I just had to later, I was just like, what was that ride like when the comeback started?
Right.
What are you saying to your kid?
Teachable moments.
Yeah. It's a teachable moment.
You know, when you cover, and I was going to interview the MVP after that game. And when you do that, they take you down in the final 5 minutes of the game to get ready to run onto the field with the vest and all that kind of stuff. So we were underneath in, Phoenix? It's Phoenix.
No.
Which one was this?
Houston.
Houston.
Yeah.
So we're down there and we can't see anything. So we finally get into the room where we're waiting, and there's a little monitor down there, and we hear this incredible roar. We're like, whoa, something big just happened. And that was we saw it's on a delay on this little monitor, and we saw the catch that put up the Seahawks down to the 1 yard line, the juggling catch by I can't remember who it was. So that set him up, and then a few plays later we heard another roar, but it didn't sound the same. It's like, that sounds like a Patriots roar instead of a Seahawks roar.
Oh, by the way, this was in Arizona. This is not Houston. You thought the Patriots.
This is 49 Arizona.
Right.
And then 2 minutes later, we saw the interception. So, like, I could tell by the sound of the crowd, which was very much decidedly big Seahawks. They were trying to go back-to-back.
I've never seen in my entire time, because I was in the crowd with Susie and her family and that was the first Super Bowl I didn't have to do a post game show, so I was actually just sitting in the in the stands. And my oldest son, who's not as much into sports, but he was way more into Katy Perry doing the halftime act.
Was it Left Shark? Was that the one that was from?
It was the Shark.
He was way more into that. He was like 6 or 7 at the time, at any rate. And I'll never forget a Patriot fan calling me over at halftime, and I'm like, okay, he wants to talk about the game. He just leans over, he goes, your son is a hell of a dancer. He was watching this go crazy at halftime.
It was
at any rate, I was in the stands, and I've never seen a group of fans go from crying to elated.
Yeah,
like I saw the Patriots fans and then the Seahawks fans go from elated to crying like that.
Crazy.
The only thing that could come close was when Susie and I were in the stands because she was covering game 7 of the 01 World Series for Fox, and I was doing it for ESPN. We were in the stands together and in the ninth inning. But that, at least, when Yankee fans went from elated to crying and Cardinals and Diamondback fans went the other way, that lasted over a span of like a 15-minute inning.
Correct.
I've never seen a flashpoint moment like that.
That was a horrifying sprint from the Seattle owner's box around to get Kraft before he got out and watching Kraft run down. I mean, literally, he was being carried by Wahlberg was carried because all the Wahlbergs were with him because they're always with him. But he had, and watching that moment, like the elation. They were messing up Kraft's hair. Yeah. While we're, and I was like, oh my God, you're touching this man's hair?
Yeah, what are you doing?
This is crazy.
Because it was the end of the long drought.
Correct.
You know?
Been 10
so
years.
What if Marshawn had run the damn ball?
Exactly.
They win
and
the game.
Here's how much it changes. Like, if the Seahawks win that game, you can make an argument that Pete Carroll becomes the greatest coach in the history of football. Because he would be the only coach with multiple championships in college and multiple Lombardi trophies.
Marshawn, the face of the league. Marshawn, the face of the league. Yeah. Remember how good he was that season and in that game?
Yeah. Well, he had pop-up stores all Super Bowl long.
I still have the gear, the Beast Mode gear. He would be a mogul right now because you would be rocking Beast Mode gear. My wife loves her Beast Mode gear.
That was the...
Lululemon would not exist if Marshawn Lynch had just
because
run the ball.
That's another what if.
There you go.
That's another domino to fall.
That's it. He's the new Lululemon.
Yeah, that was the I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Super Bowl.
We also have one where somehow a weed is illegal in Florida. I can't remember.
Oh, no, that was with the Miami and Nick Saban.
That's it, exactly.
Weed because Nick... What if
Drew Brees didn't fail the physical?
That's true, right?
Does Nick Saban go back to Alabama?
Never.
Does Alabama become a thing? Is Urban Meyer still running things in Florida? Because he's the greatest college coach because all those kids were deciding between Florida and Alabama. And if Saban's not there, they're going to Florida.
They're going to Florida. And weed is legal because Ricky Williams.
Exactly right. Because Nick Saban is a very pro-player guy.
And so when it is
he wants to reach people at their levels.
Exactly.
And Nick Saban's winning anything, so...
So you run things down to the nitty and the gritty.
We go down some rabbit holes.
We've gone some scary rabbit holes. There's been some
Kardashian mentions. With the Kardashians, which
it sounds like you should get a tinfoil sponsor. And
we could.
Wear these hats made out of tinfoil.
Yeah.
Rich, if you think about
run it down.
Think about all the things you know about sports moments, the behind the scenes moments, the things that were playing out.
Yes. Yeah.
We can play into those moments now.
Yeah.
We can add those things in.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, all of that is available Alternate Routes podcast on Amazon Music, wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes released every Tuesday. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Oh,
this is what a delight.
This is our pleasure.
This is so
and
simple.
And I did my job, Bill. I want you to know I did
okay.
my job.
Well done.
How big a job was it?
two venti lattes.
Oh, fantastic. Wow. That's Rich. Kevin Frazier. Well, we got a heart out in 8 seconds, but then we got Ron Roku for another minute and a half. Okay. Not to run it all down. Trey Wingo, Kevin Frazier, Alternate Routes. Get your podcast wherever you can.
Who's going to do the Sports Center? One day there needs to be an old Sports Center anchor like podcast or series just telling the stories of what the hell went on in that building.
Some of that stuff we don't want out.
I mean, look, it's we're past the statute of limitations, right?
Dudes
aren't going to jail.
Yeah.
I mean, but we're okay, allegedly.
Yeah, supposedly.
What did you about to say something, TJ?
I was gonna say, guys, I love the what if. It's one of my favorite things to play, and I was thinking one in 1996. The Charlotte Hornets deny the Lakers trade request. They keep their 17-year-old superstar Kobe Bryant.
We just recorded that one.
All right. But Kobe would never have let that stand, right?
What do you mean he would have never let that stand?
Do you think he wanted to go to the Lakers?
No, he wanted to go to the Lakers, but if the Hornets keep him and Vlade stays out west, it's a different scenario. And also, understand this, Jerry West was infatuated with another superstar who came around a year later. So there could have been a similar thing. Vlade just would have been the serviceable big man, but there would be another superstar in his place.
All right.
Hey, go to Amazon Wondery. Yeah. We got it for you.
Okay.
We break the whole thing down.
Look at you guys. Look at you guys selling the soap. It's fantastic. Well, like I said, come back anytime. And if you're up for coming to the Rose Bowl, come and hang out. And
come on.
You know, come run. Run with me.
Done.
If you're around.
When is it?
Listen, that's Trey's way of saying I'll be in Hawaii.
That's what I got. Right. I just
in
got
a very nice way.
Hey, everybody. This is Dan Bespris, host of Fantasy NBA Today, a daily fantasy basketball podcast. We cover every box score from every game, every day. Plus bonus shows on buy low opportunities, players to stash, schedule analysis, and really anything you could need to smash your league into deliciously tiny pieces.
Catch the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, part of the Believe Network, on YouTube or wherever you listen.